Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a detested father returns to tell his son to do not go where I have gone.
Guess where he went? A not good place.
Oh, like after he's dead, he comes back and says, hey, yeah, it's kind of hot down here.
I think so.
Okay, so you got that, plus your calls at 855-853-4802, your real ghost stories here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can share them with us that way or on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get us your stories for sharing. We saw a movie last night that I had never heard of before. I don't know, I'm not like a big movie buff, but Ricky Gervais in it, and it really very much define half of the stories that we get on the show.
Right.
I was kind of surprised that no one has ever suggested this one. You remember what it was called exactly?
Was it called Ghost Town?
Ghost Town. Let me. We saw this movie. We don't know what it's called.
Yeah, it was from 2008.
Ricky Gervais. Ghost Town, I believe you are correct. Okay. Congratulations.
Yay, I won a prize.
You won a piece of chocolate. Yeah, Ghost Town. The premise is just really he's someone who had a near-death experience in surgery and then suddenly is able to see the undead. Ghosts walking around and they're trying to deliver messages through him. And it's really kind of a comical take on the whole premise, but very much in line, like I said, about like what half of our stories are.
Yeah, and it's more of a romantic comedy kind of movie. None of the ghosts are gory. You know, it's not like I See Dead People.
No.
It's very, I don't know, it's kind of, you've got mail-ish, but
sure,
with ghosts.
If you like this show and you like ghost stories and you like humor with your ghost stories, which I'm assuming you probably do if you're listening to this show, you'll probably like the movie.
Yeah, it was cute.
Because there's a lot of that in there. So anyway, good little recommendation for our audience to check out. I think we saw it like on HBO On Demand.
I think so.
On the app thingy. So that's where it's currently playing if you want to check it out for free or not, you know, thousands of places to rent it. All right, let's get to our first story of the day here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And it comes in to us from Jack. Jack writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Jack, and I'm a new listener from Liverpool, England. I've been listening for a week or so now, and I really love the show. I'm truly addicted. I have a few stories, this one being the most recent and most disturbing. My story starts with my uncle. He passed recently, really young, 36 years old. He was a handsome man, very smart, really healthy, and he should have had the world at his feet. Instead, he was plagued with the oddest bad luck you can imagine, with love, all aspects of his life, and ultimately his health. On his deathbed, he revealed something to my mother. He admitted that he thinks something had been following him from when he was a child, a dark entity, that he could feel it around him. Now more than ever, he told my mother that he knows it's waiting for him and that he's seen it shortly after my uncle passed away. My mother told me that she thinks this dark entity latched onto my uncle after my grandmother experimented with a Ouija board when she was younger. That's a story for another time. Now this links into me. I'm usually a fit and healthy lad, strong mentally and physically, but about 12 months ago, about a year after my uncle passed, I suffered an unknown mysterious health problem, like that of what my uncle used to suffer from. Doctors can't figure out what it is or what's causing it. It's ferocious, and unfortunately, this brings me to my knees, physically and mentally. These problems come and go frequently, and when they do, I stumble into a deep and dark depression, and I can't fight it. My luck changed dramatically around the same time. My career took a massive U-turn, and my relationship with my fiancé has suffered a lot. Here's where it gets interesting. At one point, I fought off the depression only as the symptoms of my illness faded. I felt on top of the world, that I could move on with my life. But one night, I had the strangest, most vivid nightmare. It was something like out of a Stephen King novel. I was standing outside an old abandoned house on an evening, as ugly and dilapidated as you can imagine. As I stare at it, the front door slowly edges open. I feel compelled to go inside. Why? I have no idea. I gingerly walk through the door and into the hall. I hear breathing, strained breathing, coming from behind one of the doors. I push it open and something is lying down in the corner of the room, about 10 feet long, struggling for breath. It's black, blacker than I can describe, and I could see it had a long tail. As I get closer, I can see this thing is wrapped in chains and bleeding heavily. The blood is black. The chains around it is what looked to be a muzzle were cutting in it, in deep. It looked to be dying. There was a trail of blood leading out of the back door, normal red blood, and again, I felt the need to look to where it leads. I follow it outside, leaving the creature in the house. It leads down a dark path into the woods. I walk a good distance down the path before I decide to take up my phone and call for help. I call my fiancé. I don't know why I'd never do that in real life. I'd keep her as far away from this as possible, but I did. I called her and told her everything, told her to take a look. I carry on down the dark path, and some time must pass. I receive a text from my fiancé, and she told me I was lying and nothing was there. Then her texts began to make no sense. They were jumbled and out of the ordinary, so I decided to call her. When she answered, all I could hear was heavy, male demonic breathing. The demon was very much alive. Now it has my fiancé. Then I woke up. My head was a mess, but I thought it's just a nightmare. Can't mean anything, right? A few days later, my gorgeous, delicate fiancé admits to me that she's suffering from depression. Now, only through listening to your show have I linked depression to demonic entities, and for me, everything just tied in. I beat the depression. I tied it up in chains, but now it has my fiancé. My illness comes back frequently, followed by the relentless depression. It seems to me now that I have a demon problem. I'm determined to win. I won't let this thing finish me. I believe love and positivity is the key. I'm now starting to battle with this creature. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I'd love to hear your take on it. Again, love the show. Hope to become an EPP once my luck has changed. Thanks and kind regards, Jack.
His link between depression and demonic activity, he almost implied that the depression is caused by the demonic activity, but I think it more so would be an accurate statement to say that when you're depressed, you're open to being attacked by a multitude of entities.
Mm-hmm. You become like more of a target for it.
Yes.
Not necessarily the other way around.
Right.
Commonly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that certainly does seem to be the case. A lot of times someone is suffering from a true, what would you call like a natural ailment, something that's going mm-hmm. on with you without anything supernatural. And because of that, it opens you up more. Essentially, you become weaker mm-hmm. to fighting these things off.
Now, that's not to say, though, that if you are being plagued by demonic activity that it, you know, it can drive you to the point of becoming depressed.
Sure.
But I don't think necessarily that's the case in most situations.
Sure. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. I'm glad the dream didn't literally manifest itself.
Really?
With what he was talking about. I mean, obviously there are aspects of it that did have some manifestation there, but that's a pretty dark experience to go through. I can imagine being very... That's not when you just get up and like, okay, I'll have a glass of tea and go back to sleep.
Mm-mm.
That's, yeah. Anna writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Anna. I'm a proud EPP. A week or so ago, I was listening to a story written in by a girl by the name of Claire, I believe. She said she used to live in Mountain Brook, Alabama, where I live now. I'm from the Birmingham area and moved to this apartment complex in an English village in mid-August of this year. To clarify, Mountain Brook, Alabama has three main villages: Mountain Brook Village, English Village, and Crestline Village. When I heard Claire describing where she used to live, my heart started racing. I couldn't believe it. She was describing the exact same apartment complex I live in now. I've been listening to your show for about a year now, so naturally before I moved to the old beautiful apartment complex built in the 1930s, I did some ghostly research, and I found the same information Claire gave in her letter, or call. I can't remember if she called or wrote in. Here's what I found. First, the tuberculosis sanatorium on Fairway Drive. Very little is known about this tuberculosis sanatorium, the first of its kind in northern Alabama. In May of 1910, the Anti-Tuberculosis Association of Jefferson County set up a cluster of tents near present-day Cabo Road and Fairway Drive to treat victims of tuberculosis. George R. Eves, originally from Stratford-upon-Avon, England, started the association after his own struggle with the disease. The sanatorium was moved to a larger site on Red Mountain sometime in 1912. Today, the shops and restaurants of English Village have replaced the sanatorium's original site, and the sign that she was referring to is located right across the street from the apartment complex. The sign reads, First Tuberculosis Sanatorium, 1,000 feet east, a small group of tents erected May 1910 by the Anti-Tuberculosis Association of Jefferson County constituted the first effort to aid victims of tuberculosis in northern Alabama. And as Claire pointed out, there isn't much information on this area, which is killing me, no pun intended, or maybe it was. I don't think of myself as sensitive, but rather paranoid. I don't know the difference, really. Never experienced the smell of smoke, nor the weird experience with the TV referring to. But I do have a cat, and I will catch her staring at certain parts of the ceiling for hours at a time. This freaks me out. Anytime I catch her doing this, I try to immediately stop her because it scares me. I then clean the area where she was staring at with a wet cloth to make sure it's not just dust or a cobweb. After cleaning, the wet cloth is always clean. Not sure what to think of this. Also, I'm a part-time artist and have this very large H-frame easel that my boyfriend gave me. Currently has a 24x36 canvas on it. My cat was in my room sleeping. It was about 4 a.m. when I heard the loudest crashing sound. I immediately jerked awake to find my very sturdy and heavy easel on the floor. The canvas had a few small scratch marks on it. And since I moved in, it is very rare that I sleep through a whole night, and I am a notoriously heavy sleeper. I've had some very terrifying dreams, but have never seen or heard anything, knock on wood. Side note, the Birmingham Zoo Botanical Gardens are built on top of a burial ground, which is just down the road from the apartment complex. Anyway, I thought you'd appreciate a follow-up on a little bit more history of English Village in Mountain Brook, Alabama. I definitely find it very interesting. I currently work at an architecture firm, and my days can go by very slowly. Your show gets me through and keeps me awake, so thank you.
I think that's funny that we finally had two listeners that had the same haunted location.
Yeah.
As far as not something massive that we've all heard of, like Waverly or something like that, that this was just an apartment complex.
Yeah, just a fairly, you know, benign place,
right?
Or a famous store or something. We've had a lot of that. That's very interesting. We've had a couple stories recently where there was someone who was also driving down, I forgot where this was, but they were driving down the road and they had heard someone reference a specific building that was haunted and the location. And he was a trucker, I believe. He's going through an area he normally does not, you know, it's not an always going by thing. It wasn't his own town by any means. And he's just listening to our show. And he looks out the window and he sees exactly what we're describing. this is the odds of that are mm-hmm. not good. It's interesting that these things are starting to happen now.
Yeah.
I guess it speaks to the volume of the amount of people who now listen to this program. But the odds are still not great.
No.
You know, I mean, when you consider the sheer population of the country and geographic makeup, for them all to match up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of weird coincidences with this show. I don't know if coincidence is the right word. but if you don't believe in coincidences or not, but there seems to be a lot of that happens, whether it be the locations people are talking about or experiencing as they hear them, or just the way our shows come about sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. But hey, we wouldn't have it any other way. Kat writes in, I thought I would send in some of my dad's creepier experiences. The first one happened in the mid-80s. Little backstory, my dad's father was an alcoholic and not a nice person when he was drinking, which was most of the time. He left my grandma when my dad was an infant, and my dad only saw him once he was around 5 or so, and he had no knowledge of when or if his father had died. My dad is a really healthy person and can count on one hand how many days he was off work for illness in 35 years. This was one of those rare days. He was upstairs in bed sick with the flu. No high fever to cause hallucinations, just the usual bathroom visits that go along with the flu. This was about noon and their room was fairly bright with only lace curtains on the window. My dad was lying on his side facing the door to the bedroom when a solid figure in a black robe with a hood entered the room. He was frozen, not sure what to think. The figure walked over to the side of the bed, leaned over him, and whispered in his ear, "Son, don't come where I am." Then turned and walked out of the room. My dad couldn't really make out a face if it was him in the shadow. He jumped out of bed and ran downstairs, and the figure was simply gone. My mom said he was white as a ghost. He told her the whole story. My dad is not a religious person. He believes in God, but doesn't go to church or anything. After this experience, he had my mom go and buy all of his brothers and his sister a Bible and told them the story. Years later, when they told me the story, we put it together that it was at least the month, if not close to the day, my dad's father, in fact, died. My grandma had told me he died, but didn't want to tell my dad. I never met the man, so I never considered him my grandfather. My dad still turns white and gets chills when I bring up his encounter. Fast forward 20 plus years and my dad has triple bypass surgery, too many years of fast food. He's lying in the recovery room about 2 days after surgery. He's not one to take meds, so he's only on Tylenol. My sister is asleep on the recliner in the room. It's the middle of the day and the lights and TV are on in his room. He's watching a football game. And something catches his eye and towards the door of his private room, he assumes it's just the nurse coming in. He describes it like this. What looked like an elevator door appeared out of nowhere. It opened and inside stood a beautiful angel. It was about 10 feet tall. He said it was male, and even though he is a straight guy, he said he was gorgeous. He's never seen a more gorgeous male or female. The angel had enormous wings, and he just stood there on the other side of the door. He looked at my dad a little puzzled, then the door began to close and the whole thing vanished. Needless to say, my dad was left shaking, wondering if he had come for him or just got the wrong room. He'd almost died from some medication they had given him in our town just a few days before that led him to being moved to Tulsa, and the doctors there discovering he needed the bypass. We joked that the angel came too late, that the doctors had done too good of a job saving his life. When he starts complaining about my mom watching a religious program on TV, I remind him of these two occurrences and tell him that elevator may have been going down, so maybe he might want to rethink his complaints. That usually keeps him quiet. This has gotten pretty long, so I'll save the other two creepy apparitions for later. The half-naked ghost and the tornado demon. Thanks for all you do. God bless. Kat from California, stuck in Oklahoma.
You know, it didn't sound like the grandfather went in a very good place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that he did come back after he died, even though the son didn't know that he had died.
Sure. It was like one final, I'm going to try to do something good here with this life that is now gone. And how interesting. Do you think that he had knowledge of his son's life? It sounds like he didn't really need much of a warning anyhow. It wasn't like he was going down some dark path.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, oh, then this thing totally changed everything about me.
Yeah.
Or do you think it might have just been the dad having no knowledge of his son because he didn't in life either, but just thought, just in case, I'm just going to get this message out there?
Yeah, I think that might be it, because it doesn't sound like there was any reason to think that the dad was going to go.
Sure.
Anyway, you know, he wasn't that type of a person, but you know, just kind of like, if I can do one good thing, yeah, I'm going to come back and do this.
Yeah. Very, very creepy, creepy story. That would be disturbing, mm-hmm, seeing the ghost elevator door opening up when you're in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. This isn't supposed to be happening. Well, here you go. If this ever does happen to anyone, when they're in the hospital and they have this happen, just know you can reference back this story in your mind. It doesn't always mean it's over. Sometimes they just get the wrong floor.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, my name's Dominique from Pennsylvania. I'm calling because, well, I ran across your show and I think it's awesome. And when I was younger, I actually used to see a lot of things. Everything was, I believe I was around maybe 9 or 10, and all the people I ever had to talk to about it was my parents. And I couldn't really blame them, but they didn't really believe me, mainly because, well, kids make up things, kids have imaginary friends, things like that, but so many weird things happened that it was just, it wasn't normal. Even as a child, I could tell it wasn't normal. So one of the things, one of the stories, since there's so many, I'll just choose one, was our house that we were in was around 200 years old, and in Pennsylvania, that's quite normal. However, we did have some family members, some great aunts of mine that had passed on in that house, and you'd think that that would make anything that was in there friendly. No, it didn't. It didn't. So basically what happened was I was in my bedroom as a kid, and there was a hallway and a set of stairs. When I opened my bedroom, my eyes would immediately go to the top of the set of stairs. Well, I opened it, you know, I wanted a snack, I remember that, and I was going to go downstairs. I looked up, and there was ink, like pure black ink. It was that color, and I want to say it was the shape of a human because it was, but yet it wasn't. Its arms were too long. Its legs were too long. It had no face. Like, it had a head, but there was no eyes, no nose, no mouth. There was nothing there. And I froze. I froze. There was nothing I could do. I was, oh, well, I was around 9, 8, or 10, and I just couldn't move. It was like something was holding me there. And up the steps, one of its arms were stretched up, clutching the banister, and one of its feet were up. So it was coming up the steps. And then it turned, it didn't turn its body, but it turned its head and looked at me. And I could tell it was looking at me. And I was just trying to pretend that I didn't see it. I was whispering to myself, saying, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. And then it stretched its neck, didn't move its body, its whole entire neck stretched until its face was only an inch from mine. And at this point, I'm freaking out, and it felt like I was there forever, but it could only have been around 1 or 2 minutes just staring. And it just stared me down, even though it had no facial features at all. And then, sorry, my voice is shaking, remembering it was slightly traumatic. And then I blinked. And then it was like my body had been released. It was like everything was back to normal, because when I saw that thing, it was like the world had stopped. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I was frozen. Yet, once I blinked, everything was gone. I didn't see it anymore, and I was able to move, and I was able to breathe. And at first, I wanted to shrug it off and go, oh, that was nothing, that was nothing. But then more weird things started happening. More things started to show up. Things that I won't go into right now because I don't want to take up too much time, but basically, one correlation I realized was, this is going to sound crazy, but when I was a kid, I was a very spiritual child. I prayed all the time. I read the Bible all the time, sang words of praise all the time. And then when these things started to happen, this was around the same time that I stopped doing that as much. I didn't read the Bible as much. I didn't pray as much. I didn't do anything as much. And then I started to see things, things that I really wish I hadn't. But yeah, you know, that's just a little piece of the many things that happen. So thanks. I love your show. I can't wait to see the next episode. Goodbye.
So I wonder if she went back to doing the devotional activities that she was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And if it made a difference, if it made the activity stop?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting follow-up on that one. You would think that, you know, logically, the way that the story played out, that that would certainly have a positive effect on this,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully make these things change so she doesn't have to experience things like that. Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Of course, our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, the other way to do it by writing in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And I should note that I am in search again for more pictures for our next episode of Seeing Ghosts. Episode 3 is up there now for our EPPs, and it's packed with some really, really creepy photos. I think my favorite one, at first I thought it was the theater ghost, because that really was a good one. There was like a little kid in the theater. Mm-hmm. There is another one that was taken at a bar in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, and that I almost feel is a little creepier.
Okay.
It's literally, this woman's doing like a selfie in a bar, and it's a well-known establishment for hauntings. So they have like, there's ghost tours and stuff there and such. And this woman's just doing like the selfie in the bathroom, and it's two photos back to back. And one is just her in the bathroom. It's got this really eerie reddish hue, you know, to the picture, because it's all like red walls and shit. Suddenly the next shot is this, like, it looks like the back of a woman staring out the window. Now, I guess anyone can make the argument, oh, someone else is in the bathroom. According to the submitter of the story and the images, no, it was a private, you know, little bathroom. There wasn't anyone else in there.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's clear as day that mm-hmm. there's someone else there. And I mean, there's almost a translucent or transparentness to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super transparent, but there's enough where you go, Am I seeing through that person? It's just weird. You can check that and many more. There's a lot of other photos in that episode of Seeing Ghosts for our EPPs on our EPP website, which is ghostpodcast.com. If you want to become an EPP, you can go there as well. Just click on, become an EPP. Or if you click on really any of the stories and you're not logged in, you'll be taken to a page where you can sign up to become one and get access to those episodes. And, of course, all of our bonus EPP episodes of our show. Nearly up to 80.
Wow.
Getting very, very close now.
Yes, we are.
Wow. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Brandon, Manitoba in Canada. My name is Sharon. And I don't know why I thought of this. It just popped into my head, but I thought I would share it. I had called once before about my mother and her experience with the supernatural, or angelic, or demonic. I think in this case it was angelic, about the young boy around the same age as her and her friend at the time, probably 1936, 37. But here in Canada, one night, for whatever reasons, no one was home. I think I must have been maybe 9, 10 years old. Obviously, my mother was at work, my father was out, and my brothers were not home either yet. And I heard a knock at the door. And when I opened the door and saw this man standing there, it wasn't that late at night. Probably, it was during the winter, so it was dark early. So probably about 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. I haven't thought of this in years. And I knew as soon as I saw this person that I shouldn't let him in. But at that time, being quite innocent and trusting, I let this person in. And all I knew was, during the whole time he was there, because he sat down, I asked him if he wanted anything to drink or coffee. He had a cigarette. I remember getting him something to drink. And by the grace of God, and that's all I can say, because anything could have happened at that time. As I reflect on it now, years later, I could have been raped. I could have been assaulted. anything could have happened to me. I could have been kidnapped, anything. So obviously there was the Holy Spirit, or there was my guardian angel, or something supernatural watching over me, because I never felt safe. I was extremely uncomfortable, nervous, and all I knew at that time how to behave was to be extremely, extremely polite and nice, more so than I am normally. But I just knew that I needed to be careful and to be very nice and kind and polite until he left. So I think of it now and I think, gee, Sharon, I was extremely fortunate. And what made me feel so uncomfortable, I don't know, or what made me feel so nervous, but I do know this, as I understand now, from a Catholic point of view, that there are angels, both good and evil, both demonic and of Christ, of God, and that these beings can come in whatever form, are extremely, extremely much more intelligent than us mortal beings here on Earth, can transform or do anything that we can imagine, if not more so, and to be extremely wary of anything diabolical or demonic. And it can come in whatever form, whether it's something that we think is good but may not be. But I think the sole purpose of these types of occurrences, obviously there's Lucifer, who's the prince of lies and the great deceiver, and then there's Satan, who's the destroyer. Both of their aims is ultimately to condemn our souls and bring our souls down to hell for eternity, which is what I think the majority of us don't want. So to be very aware, but not afraid, and to not put too much emphasis on what is supernatural, whether it comes from love or whether it comes from evil. Thanks.
I think it's really good that she went with her when she knew that that was not a good person.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have let him in, but still, thankfully nothing happened.
Intuition is an interesting thing because, you know, just as she was saying, you know, it's it can be very, very tricky with these sort of things. I think when you're dealing with the living sometimes, intuition can be a little more accurate. I mean, anyone can be, you know, taken advantage of by the correct manipulative type person. But when it comes to some of these, you know, darker entities and things of that nature, you know, sometimes they can come across as the epitome of safe and harmless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had stories of, you know, we saw these little children and we thought they were just there and they needed some help. And, you know, it turns out really bad shit was about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it can be very confusing when you add the paranormal realm into it as far as trusting your intuition, especially if you're feeling that it's good.
Yeah.
And there's some times where it is completely good. And at the end of the day, absolutely nothing bad happened. And it did turn out to be dead grandpa giving a message. But sometimes, you know, people are like, it looks like my grandpa. And he was being really friendly. But wait a second, his ear was reversed, you know, or something
right.
Weird. And then it turns out not to be dead grandpa after all.
Mm-hmm.
But it just adds to all the confusion on the topic at hand.
Dead grandpa. So.
There you go, with the ear reversed.
Uh-huh.
And then they looked at photos going, oh, his ear always was reversed. How come we never realized that in life?
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I heard of your guys' podcast from a friend, and I thought I would share my story. My sister and I, growing up, used to babysit a lot together. For neighborhood kids, and There's one girl in particular, I can't remember her name, but we were 13 or 14, this was like 10 years ago. And there is a little girl, she's about 6, and her little brother, who is about 2. And I don't remember what we were doing. I know that we were with the brother. But we ended up being in the other room. And for some reason, she was like 8 or 9, so she was fine to be by herself. She didn't need constant, attention. And so I remember my sister was walking in the dining room, and the little girl was just in the corner. And she was like, okay, calling to me, like, you need to come in here. And I walked in the dining room, and she was just facing the corner. She didn't say anything. She didn't do anything. She wasn't talking. She was just standing there in the corner with her face to the wall and was just looking in the corner. And I don't remember her name for the life of me, but my sister was like, hey, what are you doing? And she turned around, like, I swear to God, it was in slow motion. And she looked at my sister, and she wouldn't look at me, and she was like, I was talking. And my sister was like, well, you weren't making any noise. Who you were talking to? And she's like, oh, the people in my mind. And my sister kind of glanced at me, and I just kind of laughed it off, because, I mean, we've never babysat these girls or these kids before. And, you know how children are at that age. I mean, 8 or 9, they're just, expressive. But later that night, we kind of just left it off, and, like, we were like, okay, let's go watch a movie. So we were watching a movie. About an hour later, we put the brother to bed, and we left the sister downstairs. And when we came back downstairs in that same spot in the dining room, she had red lipstick, and for some reason, she was rubbing it into the dining room chair, which was fabric on the bottom. It was wood and fabric. And her eyes were closed. And my sister walks up to her and was like, what are you doing? And she tried to stop her, but she was just going so fast that it was hard to, like, grab the lipstick from her. And, I mean, this chair was totally ruined. Like, there was no going back. Like, bright red lipstick. I don't even know where she got it from. And my sister stops her. While she's holding the lipstick, she opens her eyes dead straight at my sister and said, if you don't let me go, they will kill you. And my sister let her go and looked at me and was completely freaked out. I mean, I don't even know what she was thinking, but just the look on her face was just pure terror. I mean, I was scared too. And, I didn't know what to do at this point. So what we tried to do was grab, makeup remover. And this was like in the 90s, so there wasn't even like the fancy wipes or anything we have. Like, we had to use, I think, like, we tried to use dish soap, we tried to use nail polish remover, we tried to use Dove soap, all of that stuff. None of it was coming off. So finally, like an hour later, we got the girl to go in the living room and just watch some TV while we cleaned it up. And about an hour and a half later, the parents come home. And we told the parents, like, hey, your daughter was doing some weird stuff. And the dad was like, okay, here it is again. And my sister was like, what are you talking about? And the dad went on to tell us that ever since she turned, like, 7 or 8, she's just been acting really weird, just doing really weird things randomly. And I asked him, I was like, well, have you gotten it checked out? Like, have you gone to a doctor, blah, blah, blah. He was like, no, because I honestly don't know how to describe it. I mean, if you call the doctor and tell them, like, what she's doing, you would think that she's crazy, and I don't want her to, have to be put on all this medicine and stuff. I mean, she's only, like 8 or 9 or whatever. And then the mom, while she paid us on our way out, she was like, I'd love for you guys to babysit again, but I don't know if you'd be comfortable with it. And just to be nice, my sister was like, I would love to. And it was the funniest thing because it was so fake when she said it that, I mean, I don't even know if the parents could tell, but it was just so funny. My sister was so freaked out. I mean, I it doesn't really bother me. I mean, it's not really paranormal, but I just don't know why that girl would be in the corner being quiet but telling us she was talking and saying that if my sister didn't let go of her that they would kill her. And I just thought that was creepy, and I thought I would share with you guys. And I love your show. I just started listening, and I have about 60 episodes in my queue, so I better get started. I just wanted to share my story. I know, like I said, I know it's not like really paranormal, no ghosts involved directly, but I just thought I'd share. All right. Well, thanks again. Bye.
What do you think?
I think it could be paranormal, but if I were the parent of that little girl, I would take her and have her checked out.
Yeah. I mean, like a psychologist or something first. Yeah,
I would. I would try and find out through the pediatrician, a child psychologist. I would start with the pediatrician and let them know what's going on and see, you know, that way they can do some testing and find out if it's just a behavioral issue. Mm-hmm. And if they rule that out, then, you know, you may very well have something paranormal going on. But I would look there first, you know.
Sure.
And you may not want to put her on medication, but you might want to find out if there is something that, you know, is very serious underlying issue going on.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to put their children on medications if they don't need them to be on them, but the reality is some people need them. And if that can help this child live a normal, healthy life, then that may be the best route. But that's why you go and get a couple opinions.
And I realized that this particular child, you know, this story was many years ago, mm-hmm. and it was somebody else's child. This
sure.
wasn't the mother calling in, but I'm speaking to our listeners who may be on the fence about whether or not to have a child examined because mm-hmm. of some very, very unusual behavior.
Sure. And that certainly was very unusual. And for a child to say something like that, doesn't mean it's paranormal right away. No. Could it be? Possibly. But rule out the medical issues first
mm-hmm.
before you go directly to that. Thanks for the story. Thank you for calling in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
My name is Samantha. I live in a suburb of Chicago, and I just wanted to call and tell my story of an experience I had when I was younger. So I was friends with these two sisters, and their mom always told me these creepy stories, you know, experiences they would have with, you know, supernatural stuff and all that. So I remember her mom had told me one time when she was in the basement doing laundry, she saw out of the corner of her eye a black dog. And now they have two border collies at the time, and no matter what way you looked at them, they were black and white. So the mom, thinking nothing of it, she kind of just went around the whole basement, didn't see either of the dogs, and so she went upstairs and saw that both of the dogs were still outside because she had let them out before she went downstairs. So she thought it was kind of odd, but being that she's experienced things before, it didn't really, I don't know, I guess she just brushed it off. So me knowing that story, their basement always creeped me out. So a few years later, I went down in the basement with one of the sisters, and I was right behind Cassie, the younger sister, walking down the stairs, and I see this big black dog just run right in front of the stairs and just disappeared into the other room. And, you know, when I first saw it, I just always thought, like, maybe it disappeared into the wall or maybe it disappeared into the other room or something, but it was almost like it just kind of went through the wall, you know? And I just remember being so scared. I would just turn around and I ran up the stairs, and it was like one of those dreams that you're running but you just can't run fast enough. That's how I felt. And right when I got upstairs, I looked into the living room, and both of their border collies that they still had were just hanging out in the living room, laying down. There was no way it could have been one of them. I would have seen it run right past me up the stairs, not to mention the dog that I saw was all black. It didn't look like either of their border collies at all. So I was just calling to see what you guys thought about that. And yeah, so I love to hear what you guys think and when you guys pick it apart. So thank you for listening. I love your show. Bye.
Ghost pets.
I would love to know what the black dog means, because we have quite a few listeners who see the phantom black dog. I want to know what that means. What is that, a sign of something, or is it some, you know, mythical creature? I just don't know.
Maybe it just stands out more than other ghost animals, just because it's a solid color. And there's a lot of animals that, you know, are a little more camouflaged, if you will,
okay.
You know, with patterns and such. So maybe, you know, they're a little more difficult to pick out from the crowd,
mm-hmm.
Or you know, that would stand out if they're being seen.
Or maybe if you're going to have the most ominous looking pet that you're not familiar with, a dog that is solid black would be it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I don't know that there's meaning to it or not, or and that's one of those things you have to wonder too, because we talk sometimes about when a ghost person is being seen, are they intending for you to see them? Mm. Or do you just happen to catch a glimpse?
Yeah.
When they're going about their day as well. You have to wonder with the pets, are they intending for you to see them, or are you just happening to catch them doing their ghostly dog things?
It's hard to know.
It is. And it's something we probably never will. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello. I just wanted to first state that I love your podcast, and I've been starting to listen to it this week, and it makes my job as a truck driver a lot more fun and makes time go by a lot faster. So anyway, on to my story. For about three summers, I just worked at a amusement park called Indiana Beach down in Paso, Indiana, and for the last half of the last summer I worked there, I was a night watchman for security, and one night I found a mountain bike that I guess one of the employees left behind, and so I decided to just make my rounds and have a little fun with it, you know, make things go by a little faster, and so one night I had to go down to South Bend Park to set up all the lights on that end. On that end of the park to get some circuit breakers. So I, you know, I'd have to go up this ramp and across the suspension bridge. Because it's on a lake, and you know, the suspension bridge goes over there and you know, turn all the breakers off there, that end. So I took the mountain bike and I went down to the south end to go up the ramp. And as soon as all two tires were off the ramp, I was stopped and I couldn't move anymore, and I was trying to pedal as far as I could, but it just wouldn't budge, and I wasn't moving, but I was perfectly balanced on the bike, straight up, wasn't trying to, no, my feet were on the ground, so it was like someone was holding the bike upright, and as I was trying to pedal harder, the bike kind of shuddered a little bit, and I was like, oh, great, maybe the bike chain broke, and when I looked back, the tire was bent. Right down the middle, the tire was bent, and people say that kind of freaked me out. I knew instantly what it was, because I always got an uneasy feeling throughout the park, especially in that area. So, you know, I dropped the bike, ran up the ramp, across the suspension bridge, turned off both lights, ran back, and yeah, I was always freaked out by that, but yeah, look, podcast, and that's the story. I hope you listen to it, and maybe you can use it on there. Thank you.
I think I'd be freaked out by that, too, if some paranormal entity bent my bike tire.
That's what's disturbing there is it's showing a lot of strength.
Yeah.
It's showing what it can do. And if it's able to do that, then I think your mind starts immediately going to other places of, okay, if it can bend metal, it can probably bend my bones a little bit, too, if it really, really felt so inclined.
Yeah.
So, spooky story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. We'll do one more caller before we wrap up the show for today. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Max, and I'm from a small town in Michigan. I have a quick scary story for you. One time I was vacationing with my family in North Carolina, and we were going on hikes and camping and doing a lot of stuff and visiting waterfalls. And on our way back from a waterfall hike, we were all walking in the group, you know, all close together, and I came across a guy that he started talking to me, and he looked real rough. I just figured he was either homeless and he was just kind of yammering on about how there's a lot of legends up in these hills and a lot of ghosts up in these hills, and he just kind of gave me the chills, and he was just going on and on about how he has a cabin up in the woods, and he sees ghosts in it all the time, and he just, there's a lot of history in them hills, and hard to understand, real redneck, and I was just like, okay, he's just crazy on drugs or whatever. So, kind of, you know, was politely smiled, nodded, you know, smiled and waved, got, you know, just kept walking, got out of there. And when I got up to the rest of my group, I go, well, that was really weird. Did you see that guy back there? And they go, "What guy?" And I go, "The guy I was just talking to." And they kind of looked at me funny, like they had no idea what I was talking about. So I turn around, and the guy right over there by the railing that overlooks this waterfall, and nobody was there. And I mean, it's possible it was just some crazy guy that talked to me and just decided to book it out of there or whatever, but to this day I still don't really understand what that encounter was. But I'd like to know your thoughts, and I've got some other stories too, and I'll call in later. Thanks a lot. Bye.
It's like who's the crazy one now?
He sees ghosts all the time because he sees himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's if his friends were looking up and they would have seen, he thought he was talking to a crazy person. If his friends saw him sitting there talking to himself, be like, "Who are you talking to? There's no one there." Like, "Oh, some crazy guy." Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Is that how we're phrasing things now? We were talking in the first person, or?
Oh wow.
But good story. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes you wonder sometimes when you come across odd characters, if you will, on your own, not so much in crowds and in groups, although you can wonder that too, but when there's really no one else to validate them being there.
Mm-hmm.
How often are they something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that story and experience with us. We greatly appreciate it. If you like the show, please help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, almost 80 of them now, and access to our exclusive video content as well, including that series that we put out every month, Seeing Ghosts. Packed with some very, very, very creepy, real ghost images. In fact, I just saw a comment that somebody posted on our latest one. It says, "These pictures are beyond freaky. That little boy in the theater looks like he's holding on to something. Maybe a reoccurring thing that happens in there." So
maybe
it's creepy stuff. So check that out when you become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.